Okay, today's daf is daf Yutes. Let's all try to do this. Two dafim in about 10 hours. Tana Rabbanan, well, out there listening, you could listen whenever you want, but we have to, we will, as Hashem do, daf Yutes now and daf Chaf tomorrow morning when we get back on a regular schedule of morning dafim, at least for a couple days until Yantif. Okay, let's go. Tana Rabbanan, Yud Ches Mabeis, six lines from the bottom. We got a Tana Rabbanan. So we just brought up, let's remember the Mishnah that we had yesterday. The Mishnah said, brought up the Pesugya of Kiyam Shtaros. Kiyam Shtaros means every document in Bezdin, Bezdin doesn't trust it. Midaraisa, every Shtar is a good Shtar. Midarabanan, there's a din called Kiyam Shtaros. I must somehow verify that Shtar, either by having the witnesses come in and say these are our signatures, or by having another document and comparing the signatures, or if they signed in front of Beis Din, some way verifying their signatures. That's Kiyam Shtaros. So the Mishnah said that if the Edim themselves come to court and say those are our signatures, but you know what, we were Ketanim when we signed, or we were Pasul when we signed, they are believed. That's what the Tanakama had said. So on that case, now we have a Braisa, Tanur Abanan. Ein ne'emanim l'posvo, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir argues on the ratio of our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, no, they're not believed. Even if all we know is from them, where we applied the principle, Rashi explained, hapesha aser hu hapesha hitir, that everything we know is based on them. So if they then said it was problematic, why shouldn't we trust them? Rabbi Meir says, no, we don't trust them. Ein ne'emanim l'posvo. V'chachamim omrim ne'emanim. V'chachamim say, like we saw in our Mishnah, that no, they are believed. So says the Gemara, Bishlamal Rabbanon, Kitai Mayhu Shapes Ashua Peshahitir. I understand why the Rabbanon, why they're believed, because if two Edim come to court, that right now the Shtar is not usable in court. So if they come to court and say, those are our signatures, but we were Ktan and we were Psulim, so without them we wouldn't be able to use the Shtar anyway. So they're basically telling us that it's still useless. Okay, so that's what's called a Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. So therefore, fine according to the Rabbanan. That's what the Mishnah held. Elo l'Rabbi Meir Maitaima. Why would Rabbi Meir not agree in the ratio of the Mishnah? We have the principle, HaPesha Asar HaPesha Hitir. If they said it was good and then they said it was bad, we should trust them. Why wouldn't they be believed? So says the Gemara, Bishlama Psule Edus. We're going to go through each of the cases they claimed. Fine if they say we were Pasul. We were psule edus at the time. So then, you know why we don't believe them, says Rabbi Meir? Mal v'gufe me'ikara me'dikdayik umechtam. There's a chazaka that when a creditor writes a shtar that he's going to collect with, he checks out the witnesses. That's a chazaka. He doesn't want to have problems. So he's obviously not going to have people, there's a chazaka, that he's not going to have psulim sign his document. He doesn't want gamblers, he doesn't want the other people that are puzzled. He's not going to want them. So Mekar Medek Dayi, that's a chazaka. So the mayor says, even though there's Pesha Asar, even though they were Mekayim the Shtar, still, the Gemara says, you know what, the mayor says they're not trusted because we assume that the Malvet checked them out when the original loan was signed. Tosfos points out, second to bottom Tosfos, Milveh Gufe, the one-liner, Ularabanan, Afilu Milveh Alpeh, Lo Havyeh, Debeinan Sheitei Tchilasovus Ova Bakashrus. And we don't trust them so much, we don't even assume the loan happened at all. It's not just we say the signatures are problematic. It's not even considered a Milveh Alpeh, says Tosfos. Afilo milva alpe lo havia. Right, there are two types of milvas, a milva bishtar and a milva alpe. Not only do we say that the document is faulty, says Tosfos, but we don't even think the loan occurred at all. That's as far as we go, not trusting them. And the Rishash is bothered by this. This is why, well, Migu, they could have not said anything. They could have just been Mekayim the Shtaris. The Rishash here asks on Tosfos, why shouldn't it at least be a milva? They're saying the Shtar is problematic. But why shouldn't at least it be a milva alpe? That's the Rishash's question here. Migo, that they could have kept quiet. Says the Rishash, let me find it. L'chor kasha, kiva da amri da maisa havi emes, nehem nenu al zeb migo. So says the Rishash, no. Migu is based on a ne'emonis that they have. And why are Krovim, which are the psulim we're talking about, why are Krovim not believed? Not because we don't believe them, but they are excluded from Edus. Right, the Gemara says, if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen came to testify together, you know what we'd say? Sorry, your brothers, We're Moshe and Aaron. You don't trust us? Of course we trust you. But the reason that relatives can't testify is not based on a lack of ne'amanus. It's based on an exclusion. That's tough. We're sorry. Relatives are not allowed to testify. So says the Rishash, that must be the basis for Tosfos here. Even though they have this migu, but because they are psulim, which Rashi said are krovim, so they're totally mufkad. A migu is based on a certain type of ne'amanus, and they don't have, we cannot give them any ne'amanus because of the Gzeiras HaKasav. So that's Tosfos and the Ha'ara of the Rishash. So back to the flow of the Gemara. So the Gemara said, why did Rabbi Meir say they're not believed? Again, Edom come to court, those are our signatures, but you know what? There was a problem when we signed it. So Bishlama, when they're they say we're puzzle, so we don't believe them, because we assume the Malveh would not have puzzle people sign his document. Ktanim Nami, bottom line, also we don't believe them that they were Ktanim Kidderim Shimon Ben Lakish, like Reish Lakish says, Dam Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, Chazaka, Eino Edom Chosman Alashtar, Elim Kein Nasa Begadol. People... how do you understand this? It's machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Let's assume Rashi. People don't have ktanim sign their documents. That's also a chazaka. Just like people don't have psulim sign their documents, they make sure that they're kosher. So too, people don't have ktanim sign their documents. Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos of the previous Amud has it a little differently. Ktanim don't sign documents. Not that people wouldn't have ktanim sign, but ktanim themselves wouldn't sign. But either way, again, there's a chazaka that ktanim were not involved. So therefore, if they say ktanim were involved, we don't believe them. Ella, there was a question? Ella, anusim, my taima. So that's 2 out of 3 we explained in the Mishnah. But what about anusim? If they say, these are our signatures, but we were anus, so why aren't they believed? What about apesha asur, apesha hitir? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, tremendous chiddush. Rav Chisda says, kasavar, Rav Meir, you know why Rav Meir says they're not believed? Eidim sha'amru lahem chismu sheker, va'al tehargu, yehargu va'yechismu sheker. You know why they can't say we were anus? Because of the principle that they can't incriminate themselves. Ein adam eisam asma rasha. What did they do wrong? They said they signed falsely. They say they forged it. Pashtus of the Gemara, is saying, what's the Gemara saying? It's yehareg va'al yavar to sign on a shtar falsely. That's what the Gemara says. Rav Chisda says, Rabbi Meir holds that even though we're used to saying the big three, Rabbi Meir holds the big four. Gili Arayis, Shvichas Damim of Avodah Zarah, and signing a shtar falsely. Signing a Dini Mammon shtar falsely, Gezel. You might even extend this to Gezel, stealing. So this is Rav Chisda's Shita explaining Rabbi Meir. So there really are three ways. So can you give me a Baba Kama? Baba Kama on the shelf. Thanks. I'm sorry. There are really three ways to understand this line of the Gemara. They're all extreme and mechudash in their own way. One way is the way that I just said. Thank you. Rabbi Meir holds that there's the big four. That is a daya of the Ramban. The daya in the Ramban says, this is based on what he calls, he quotes, a brisa chitzonis. Unclear exactly what a brisa, is it a tosefta, is it a brisa, the word brisa means outside. So it's like brisa chitzonis, is like it's two words that mean the same thing. But what day of the Ramban says, that Rav Chisda holds, the gimel dvarim ein omdim v'nei bikoch nefesh, avodazor gilorai shvichas damim, Rabbi Meir omer afilu gezel. The big four, not the big three. That's one way to explain the Gemara. That's the pashtus. But there are two other ways to explain the Gemara. The Ramban's first way of understanding the Gemara. The Ramban says, how could you say that? Look all over Shas. Look everywhere. There's no big four. There's only the big three. How can you say this? So no, this is what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that there's a midus chasidus to give your life for Averos, even if it's not one of the big three. This is a huge machlokas we've shown him. But that's what the Ramban says. Hachi kamar afagav, that we hold that you don't give your life, mikol makom, dina hu deliktalei delo yechsemu sheker, umidus chasidusu. So midas chasidus. So what's the pshat of the Gemara? A person not only can't incriminate themselves, but they can't say they didn't follow the midas chasidus. Ein adam meisam asmo rasha. That's what it means. Remember, what are we trying to explain? We're trying to explain why Rabbi Meir says they're not believed. Why aren't they believed? Because they said they did something wrong. What did they do wrong? Pshat number one, they said they signed falsely. They should have given their life. Pshat number two, they didn't fulfill the midas chasidus. Of course you don't have to give your life for this. It's not one of the big three. But it was a midas chasidus to give your life. And ein adam meisam asmo rasha means a person is not allowed to even say that they didn't fulfill the midas chasidus. Which again, is obviously mechudash, because what do you mean? Everybody's a chasid. Everybody has to do this? The Ritva has it a little differently. Now, he doesn't call it Midas Chasidus, but this is the Minag Olam, that people used to give their lives. Again, they're both the Ramban and the Ritva, are struggling because they don't want to say the Pashtus. It's also a Chiddush. This is against what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, for any other Aveira besides the big three, it's usher to give your life. You can't volunteer. I want to give my, like what the Ramban and the Rashba hold. The Rambam argues on that. You can't, it's not Midas Chasidus, it's usher. It's not one of the big three. If somebody puts a gun to your head, be Mechal Shabbos, I'm going to kill you. No, kill me. I can't be Mechal Shabbos. You know what the Rambam says? You're not allowed to do that. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. They say it's Chasidus to be Mechal Shabbos. Either way, these are three different ideas how to read this line of the of the Gemara. Is there any other echo that Gezel might be one of the big four? Is there any? There's this Shita of Rabbi Meir here, according to the first way we explained it. There are a few Gemaras. We're going to have a Gemara later on. I'm not going to mention it now. We'll have a mention later on at Daf Samach. But there is a Gemara in Baba Kama. Yeah? The Mabel, Nechtam El Al Gezel. Okay, Gezel. It shows that that was the final piece. The Chiddush Yerim says, what does that mean that it was Gezel? Every Aveira is really Gezel. When we use our Kochos not for purposes, why Hashem gave us Kochos, we're stealing. Right, so that's what it means, Nechtam El Al Gezel. They totally misuse their potential. But there is a Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Samach. On Daf Samach Amabez, where the Gemara asks, Ma'u lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro? Are you allowed to save yourself with your friend's money? Let's say you can save your life with your friend's money. In English, this is called Heinz Dilemma. Let's say you're about to die, and the only way to save your life is breaking into the pharmacy and stealing the medicine. Are you allowed to do that? Ethically. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to break into the pharmacy? You're going to pay. But are you allowed to break in and steal the medicine? So that's the pashtus of the Gemara. Usher lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro or mutar lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro? That's the question the Gemara says. Says Tosfos on that Gemara, obviously that's not the question. Of course you could do it. The question is, ichayev l'shalem kishahitzil atzmo b'nei pikuach nefesh. Do you have to pay afterwards? You might say it's hutra. It's totally mutar. Of course you could do it. It's not one of the big three. Rashi seems to say it's the pashtus. Ho'il ba'usher lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chaveiro. Rashi takes it literally. And the literal reading of the Gemara, Samach b'beis b'baba kama, that there is a tzad to say, usher lahatzil, you can't do it. Where does this come from? So this might be an echo of this idea of Rabbi Meir here. That it is the big four and not just the big three. Okay, that is an echo, Rashi Baba Kama. There is another Gemara later on. We'll have, let's remember it, on Daf Samach, here in Ksubis. But again, it's a big Chiddush, either way. That's why the Rishonim try to struggle and get out of it. Rishonim, you want to say something? So you know. Okay, let's continue. Interesting tshuva, just one other piece. And then the Ramah quotes in Evan Ezer. Let's say somebody violates an Aveir Ba'ones. Are they Pasal Eidus? So the Ramah quotes Tshuvas Harash, who says no. Right? In Eben Ezra, Sibin Yud Zayin, the Ramah quotes, let's say, B'shas HaGzeira Matir Nashim Al Pi Ba'alei Tshuva Shemeidin Masheru'u Be'eis Tzara Af Al Pi Shehimiru Daitan Mikoach Ones. Says the Ramah, quoting Tshuvas Harash, even if somebody violates an Aveir Ba'ones, that does not make him Pasal Eidus. You know, we can say they were Ba'ones. They shouldn't have done it. But that's not going to make them Pasal Eidus. That's the Shita of the Rama. Okay, let's continue, and we'll talk a little bit more after. So again, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, why does Rabbi Meir say they're not believed in the Mishnah? Where they say, those are our signatures, but you know what? We were Psulim at the time. We were Anusim at the time. We were Ktanim. So the one we're dealing with now is Anusim. Why aren't they believed? Because Ein Adam Eitz Matzvah Rasha. You can't say you did that because it's an Aveira. Now I'm going to sign falsely. You have to give your life. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says, what do you mean? That's not true. Hashti Yilu Asa L'Kam Aleim Luche. If those people... I'm sorry, did I lose the place? Right. Ilu asal kam alim luchei. If those people would come to us right now and ask, should we sign? We have a gun to our head. What would we tell them? Amrina lu zilu chasumu v'lo siktalun. We would say, sign. You don't have to get killed. Do amar mar, as we just said, ein lucha davar sh'omi b'fnei b'kuach nefesh. El avodaz kochav v'gilu reitz v'shvich chasdam v'bavan. It's only the big three. Sasha de chasmu amrina luhu amai chasmisu? In other words, there's only the big three. The Roi, the Ramban, and the Suda Gemara, Midas Chasidus. The Gemara is Gufa asking. You don't have to give your life for a Midas Chasidus. That's not called a Rasha. No, only the big three, Mamish. So we're back to the question of why According to Rabbi Meir, are they not believed when they say those are our signatures, but we were anusim? So just before we answer it, just one other thought, an idea that we mentioned in the past, a beautiful idea from the Maharal. The Maharal in Pirkei Avos asks, where does the big three come from? Why these three? Shabbos is also, that's the question that many ask. Why isn't Shabbos there? Isn't Shabbos a defining character of the Jewish people? So says the Maharal, the Mishnah says, Ashlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. The world exists on those. Says the Maharal, these three are the opposites of those. And therefore, you can't violate these, because if you violate these, you're undermining the world. And therefore, of course you have to give your life. By all the other Averis, so do the Avera, and you stay in the world. How are these opposites? So two out of three are easy. So Avoda Zara is the opposite of Avoda. Gemilas Chasadim and Shvichas Damim. Right, the greatest anti-Gemilas Chesed act is killing the person. But what about the other two? That leaves a little more beer. Torah is Gili Arayis. Says the Maharal, because Torah is the most spiritual, sublime activity that we could be involved in this world. And Gili Arayis is the most mundane, animalistic activity we could be involved in this world. So that's how those two are opposites. But that's what the Maharal says. It's the big three, because those three, you have to give your life. Because if you violate those Averos, there's no purpose for the world anyway. So that's why he says you have to give your life for those three. He does not explain the fourth one. Yeah.
Maybe the line to the Adam is like, you said, Rabbi Shua said, Lord Pianu Chayin, because of Din Emes and Shalom.
Right, Rabbi Shua said, Lord Pianu Chayin, right?
Then lying then would be...
So lying, according to Rabbi Meir, what Emes, what the other Mishnah of Din Emes and Shalom. Din Emes and Shalom. Okay, I have to get two more then for Din and Shalom. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what's the reason Rabbi Meir holds that if Edom come and say, those are our signatures, but you know what? We were anus. Why aren't they believed? El atayim ad Rabbi Meir, kid Rav Huna Marav, dam Rav Huna Marav, modeh bishtar sheksavo, ein tzarech lekaimo. Even though we've said there's a principle called kiyum shtaros, which means we don't trust a star unless they are verified, but what if the loveh, the borrower, comes to court and says, yeah, that's the star. I agree that's the star. The second that he says that's the shtar, there's no longer a need for kiyum shtaros. That's the halacha. So the case in the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir is the case in the Brisa and the Mishnah where Rabbi Meir says they're not believed, that's specifically a case where the loveh admits to the loan, and now they're trying to undermine it. So, but if the whole power of the Edim were that they were mekayim it, and therefore we could say pesha aser pesha hitter. No, the answer is no. They weren't. There's no need for them to be mekayim it, because it's a case of modeh b'shtar shekasvo. It's a case where the loveh admits to the document, and therefore there is no reason for the Edim, and that's why we don't believe them. Pesha Asar doesn't get off the ground. Period. So now we're going to talk about this for a minute. Gufa. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Modeh b'shtar shekasvo ein tzarech lekaimo. Right? Rav's statement. Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, if the loveh admits that the shtar is true, so then you do not have to verify it. You don't need kiyum. Amalei Rav Nachman, genuva genuva lama lecha. Why are you acting like a ganav? What does that mean? What are you acting like a ganav for? You're telling me something that only one person said, but you're telling it to me not in his name. You're making it appear like everybody holds that way. No, sometimes you go to a rabbi and you ask him a shayla, and let's say he has an opinion different than everybody else in the world. So what should the rabbi say? Everybody else says this, but if you really don't want to know my opinion, you know, this is what I say. What if the rabbi says, the halacha is, and he knows that 99% of achronim argue on him. So he can say, what are you doing? You want to give that psak, fine, but acknowledge that everybody else holds otherwise. So that's exactly what Rav Nachman is saying here. Why are you saying this as if, you know, everybody holds of it? Isvir lacha krebi meir, ema lacha krebi meir. Right? If this is what Rabbi Meir holds, we just plugged in for Rabbi Meir. So just say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. What, you don't hold of it? So Amalei says, no, I don't. When people come to me for din, I tell them, Zilu ladina. No, you still got to be mekayim it, even though the loveh admitted that it is a true document. Period. New section. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Ha'omer shtar amana huzeh. The next couple of lines, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, we're going to have different types of false documents. What if the Edom, somebody, not the Edom, we don't know yet, somebody comes to court and says it's a shtar amana. What's a shtar amana? Let's say Reuven and Shimon are friends. And Reuven says to Shimon, you know what, right now I don't need anything. But who knows, maybe in a few months I'm going to need to borrow $100. So you know what, let's write the shtar now. We're here, let's write the shtar that I owe you $100, even though I didn't borrow anything yet. Amana, emuna. I have emuna in you. Amam in you. Let's write the shtar now. That's called the shtar amana. So let's say somebody said there's a shtar in Beis Din, and somebody claims that it's a shtar amana, meaning it's not, it didn't really happen. So the Gemara says, ain't no name, but he's not believed. So the Gemara says, who's talking? Who said it was a shtar amana? To kamar man, who? Ilema to kamar lova, is it that the lova came? Meaning there's a document that says that I owe $5 million, and I come to court and say, no, I don't really owe it. There was a joke. So pshita, kol kamini, of course I can't do that. I have no proof. There's a document in court, of course I can't say it was a shtar amana. So, what's the statement of the Rav Yehuda Marav? Ella to cover malve. So, what's the other option? The malve says it. The creditor says it. So then, tavola bracha. Wonderful. So he's being mochel. So who cares? So if it was real, fine. And if not, he's saying, I'm not going to collect. So, ella de kamri edim. So what? It must be the witnesses. It can't be the malve. It can't be the lova. So it must be the witnesses. So again, what's the case that the witnesses call it a shtar amana when they wouldn't be believed? E de ksav yadam yotim imachom acher. If the document has been verified based on other evidence, it's not that the Edom are telling me those are our signatures and it's a shtar amana. No, we know from elsewhere. So then pshita de lo mehemni. So then obviously they're not believed because this is a fully verified, authentic shtar and they can't undermine it. Or there are two witnesses that say, that now they're saying they're trying to undermine it. They can't do that. Ve'idein ksav yadim yosi makom acher. And if we don't verify it from elsewhere, meaning they're the only source of the verification, those are our signatures, but it's a shtar amana, so am I lo mehemni, then they should be believed. That's the principle of a pesha asar or a pesha hitir, as we said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara has three answers. Three answers for this question. What exactly was Rav referring to when he said, called it a shtar amana, he's not believed. Three answers. Simin bash. Right? The Shlach HaKadosh says, whenever you see a simin, you should always say it. What's the bash here? Those are the names of the people who are going to give the answers. The first one's Rava, so they took the base. The second one's Abai, and the third one is Ashi, Ravashi. Okay, number one, Amar Rava. Li'olam d'kamar lova. Really, Rav is saying, if the lova says it's a shtar amana, he's not believed. And you're right. What's the chiddush? Ukid Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, Rav, mode b'shar shekas v'ein sarach l'kaimo. Even in a case where the lova admits to the shtar and calls it a shtar amana, so that's why he's not believed. It's also alluding to the shita of Rav. Number one. Number two, Abaya Amar. Abaya brings in a huge, important shita. La'olam de Amar Malve. Really, it's the Malve. The Malve says, this document says, I'm owed $500. It's a made-up document. It's a shtar amana. So we say, what's the problem? Why can't he say that? Why can't he say that? Because of the following. Ukegon shechav la'acherim. Because he's causing problems for others. Uke derebi nasan. The famous shibuda derebi nasan. What does the mean? The shibud, the connection of Rebbe Nassan, the Tanya, Rebbe Nassan Omer. Rebbe Nassan says, Minayin l'nosha b'chaveiro mana, v'chaveiro b'chaveiro, minayin shemotzi yemizeh v'nosin lozeh. How do I know that if Reuven owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi, then Levi could go straight to Reuven to collect. A owes B, B owes C, C goes to A. How do we know you could skip the middleman? How do we know that? Based on the pasuk in Bamidbar, Rashi explains exactly what the limud is. But that's the din of shibuda d'Reb Nassan. That if I owe somebody money, and there is a third party involved as well, so then the two outer parties, A to C, have a connection. There's a big discussion in the poskim, all different types of cases, how much does the middle person disappear? That's a big question. Could he go directly? Does he have to first try his own creditor and then go to the other creditor? But that's the chiddush here. Let's get the pshat of the Gemara and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. So what's Abaya saying? If I say that this is a shtar amana, so therefore I'm not really owed the money. But what if I have a creditor on my back? He wants me to collect this loan because I don't have any other assets. So this is a $5 million loan. I'm going to say, oh, shtar amana. So I'm causing him a loss. That's why I'm not believed. That's the Einon Eman. Well, we said Malve. Tavo Olav Bracha. No Tavo Olav Bracha. Because if he says that, based on Rebbe Nassan, he is Mechuyev. Really, there's a Shibud. There's a connection. There's a monetary obligation from A to C now. And therefore, he does not have the authority and the power to be able to say that it is a Shtar Aman. The big question here, Tosfos asks it, and the Ritva also asks it, and that is, why isn't he believed anyway? Because after all, he could just be mochel. Forget Shtar Amana. Doesn't have your Migo here? Tosis, yes. Tosis Kagon. V'yim Tomar v'lehemni b'migli b'machale. If I'm owed money, you know what I could say? I'm Michael. Keep it. It's okay. It's okay. Keep the money. I'm allowed to do that. So if I'm allowed to do that, so why don't we say, I'm believed to say it's a whole made-up shtar, because I could have just said, I'm Ochel. You know, Migu. Why don't you say that? That's Tosas Kasha. That's all the Rishonim's Kashas. The Ritvah gives a number of answers. I'm just going to go through. Yeah.
It's possible that you're not allowed to be money somebody owes you if you owe somebody money.
Good question. Can you be mochel somebody's money if you owe? So we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to that. But that's the Ritva asked that question. So he says, number one, the Yesh Matartzim, the Amana Ole Avla, Umesa Matzmo Rasha, the Kiva the Kain Ein Lahamino Bazeb Shumpanim. First answer is that, okay, maybe it's a Miku, but you know what? If somebody says Shtar Amana, they're basically saying they wrote a false document. So really, you know why they're not believed? In other Meitzim Atzma Russia. They're saying they did something wrong. Forget the Migu. You know why they're not believed here? Because he's saying Shtar Amana, it's a false document. That's one answer, says the Ritva. Another answer, he says, because Vaharivid, the Rivid says what Josh just said. Why isn't this a Migu? Because he can't be Mochel. The second that you have these three people in the relationship, then the third party owes the first party. And the middle party disappears, basically, halachically. He does not have the authority anymore to be mochel. What does Tosfos say? Let him just be mochel. He can't be mochel. That's gufa the chiddush of Rabbi Nasan. Delo matzi machal kiva de mishabed lemid Rabbi Nasan. Uke'ilu hu bau chov mamish. It's as if the Levi lent Reuven the money. It's a very strong formulation of the middleman disappearing. There's a different kind of idea. Gemara, where does the Tosas, the Gemara, the Tosas quotes? Let's say I have a shtar that says Reuven owes me $100. And I sell you the shtar. So I can sell you the shtar. It's an asset of mine. So I sell you this asset. The halacha is, I can then be mochel that. I can then be mochel that shtar. I sell you the shtar, and then I can be mochel the chov. Because it says, Reuven owes me. So says the Ravid, that's different. Because there, the buyer didn't have any shibud. He bought an asset, and now the asset's worthless. But here, this two balechovos, Reuven borrowed from Shimon, Shimon borrowed from Levi, says the Ravid, then he can't be mochel anymore. V'zehadin nirin nachon be'enai, v'akushya misparekes bokaroi. The kushya, the kasha, falls away. There are other answers, but that is the most fundamental answer that the Ritva gives. That answer is not in Tosfos. There are other answers given how you get out of this migu, but that is that. Yeah.
What if multiple people owe Shimon money, and he's got four gishtars and one gishtar?
Oh, so what if he's owed, the middleman is owed five different stars? So why Dafka, are they all Meshubid to his creditor? It's a good question. Part of Shibud the Dramnasa. But how much of are they connected? Okay. Okay, there's more here, but Shibud the Dramnasa is a very large topic. We'll leave it at that. Tosas Kasha and the Ritva's Kasha and a couple of other answers. But we'll move on for now. So again, what are we doing? We're having three different answers, which we did two already. What did Rav mean when he said, if you say it's a shtar amana, you're not believed? So answer number one was, we're talking about the Loves said it, and he's not believed, alluding to the did of Modib Shtar Shekasfu. Answer number two is, he can't, the Malves said it, and he's not believed because he has a creditor on his back. Shibud Reb Nasan. Answer number three, it's the Edim talking. Ravashi Amar Lolam Dekamri Edim. The Edom are talking, and there's no other proof to the veracity of the shtar. So shouldn't they be believed? So we say, if they're making their own shtar, shouldn't they be believed? Why aren't they believed? Why aren't they believed? Because they are basically incriminating themselves. Because there's an Isser. There's an Avera to keep a shtar amana in your house, because what? It could lead to gezel. You have a shtar in your house that somebody owes you $100, and you know 100% for sure that it's not true, right? It was made up. You can't keep that shtar in your house. Maybe you're going to forget. It's only going to lead to problems. So that's included in the pasuk in Iyov Atishkan Balecha Avla. So that's why they can't claim this, because they are then claiming that they are that is totally false. V'yamarev, continuing, v'yamarev sheshes b'rei d'ravidi, sh'ma mina mida rav kahana, What do you see from Rav Kahana? What we just said, Edom Sha'amra Amano Hayidvarenu Eina Amonim. If Edom say we were not telling the truth, they're not believed. My Taima Kivan Da Avlahu A Avla Lo Chasmi. We assume that they wouldn't Chosem on a Avla, and therefore they're not believed. So we have three pshatim: the Lovet talking, the Malvet talking, or the Edom talking. Continuing, same idea now. Amr Shua Ben Levi Asul Ola Adam She Yishesh Dar Parua B'Toch Beiso. A person is not allowed to keep a paid up shtar in his house. Paid up shtar parua. It was already paid. You can't keep that in your house either. Why? Obviously, because it could lead you to collect again. You know, we either I have a Yetzirah, I'm going to collect again, or I might forget. I might forget in 5 years. Oh, wow, look, he owes me money. Sometimes we don't remember. Did he pay me back or not? So if you have a shtar, you're going to collect again. Mishum shenamar al tishkan balecha avla. Bima rava mishpei derav amri. They said a different pasuk. Im avon biyadecha harchikeyu. If you have some type of avla and a sin in your hand, distance it. What is that referring to? Zeh shtar amana v'shtar pasim. All different types of false shtar. Shtar amana, as we explained before, that you want, you know, maybe in the future I'll borrow money, so write the shtar now. That's shtar amana. Shtar pasim, Rashi explains elsewhere, means a shtar. I just ask you to write a shtar that I lent you money so I appear rich. It's a shtar pasim. Right? I want to show people. You know what he owes me? You know what that guy owes me? You know, so it'll make me look good. Again, another false kind of shtar. You're not allowed to have these shtars in your house. V'altashken balecha avla says shtar parua. And the other part of the pasuk is it's referring to a paid up shtar. So says the Gemara, Man Amar Shtar Parua, according to the one who says, you're not allowed to keep a paid up shtar in your house, Kol Shekein Shtar Amana. Surely a Shtar Amana would not be allowed. Why? Because a Shtar Amana is totally false. It never was a good shtar. Man Amar Shtar Amana, but according to the one who says a Shtar Amana, you're not allowed to have in your house, Aval Shtar Parua Lo. But maybe he would not say that a Shtar Parua is Asur. The Zimnin Demashi Le, because sometimes somebody keeps a paid up shtar in their house for a little bit longer. Why? Apshiti de Safra, because it's really the Lovez responsibility to pay the scribal fee. Right? To pay this the money for the sofer to write the shtar. You don't go to Kinko's and buy, you know, documents. You know, you had to get a sofer to write shtaris. So it was the Lovez responsibility. Let's say he never paid. So the Malva might say, you know what? I know you paid me back the loan, but I'm keeping the shtar until you give me the extra bucks for the sofer, which you forgot. So I'm going to hold on to the shtar there. So it's possible that he might keep the shtar. He might come to collect the whole thing. But all the Gemara is trying to say now is why it's less of an avla to have the shtar parua in your house than the others. The others were never good. A shtar parua, there is a svara for him to keep it a little while longer.
Can we talk about the other Gemara about having a receipt?
Right, shofar. Right, so the question is, where's the shofar here? So I guess they didn't have a shofar in this case.
Or maybe this is for the proof that he was holding on to the document for the cipher, because otherwise he would have had a shofar, but he didn't give the shofar.
Okay, right, maybe he didn't want to give it. Right, until he got his money totally, he didn't want...
But one thing that's confusing to me is that I would think that maybe you could make the case that a shtar mana is a better shtar than a shtar perua, because at least there's a chance that the transaction is going to take place.
Oh, okay, so just the opposite.
Place, there was no transaction ever going to happen at all.
Well, we're comparing Shtar Parua now with Shtar Amana. Shtar Parua means paid up. So it definitely happened.
Oh, not that.
Definitely happened. The other one, Shtar Pasim, we're not relating to. Shtar Pasim, we're not relating to. There is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Samach Beis Yud Aleph, based on a Tashbetz, Lova Shepara Lamalva. Ve'ein Malva Rotza Lahasul Shtaro. So what happens if a lova pays up and the malva wants to keep the shtar? Tough, I'm not giving it back. I want to keep it for posterity. So says the Shulchan Aruch, yesh lan adoso. You can put him into chayrim. You can excommunicate him. Ashi achzirenu. Lefisha over alav shel divrei kabbalah. He's violating an isid rabbanan. Right? Al tishkon balecha avla. So you can put him in chayrim, says the Shulchan Aruch, based on a tashbetz. Shach says, "V'nira demayri aval bishalova shosek v'enam avakish ashtar." Bezin's allowed to do this, even if the lova says, "Yeah, let him keep it. He's not going to collect again." No, you're not allowed to have it in your house. Osher rotsa mava litin lo ashtar shadachum yom liyom. I'll give it to you tomorrow, the next day. No, the Shulchan Aruch says you're in chayrim until you give it back. This is al tishkon balecha avla. You're not allowed to have this in your house. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samach Beis in Choshen Mishpat. One more line. Itmar sefer. She'eno muga. Let's say you have a sefer that is eno muga, meaning there are some mistakes in it. What does sefer here mean? it at least means Sefer Torah. It at least means Sefer Torah. Amar Rabbi Ami, let's finish the line, then we'll talk about the Shittos. Alamed Yom Mutal L'Shoso. 30 days you could have it in your house. Mikan Ve'elach Asal L'Shoso. After 30 days you cannot have it in your house anymore. A Sefer Torah Shein Emuga. Mishum Shenemar Al Tishkon Balecha Avla. Because, again, it's an Avla in your house. So what exactly does this mean? Look at Rashi. Fourth line. Rashi Sefer Shein Emuga. Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. What's Rashi getting at? Tanakh. Is that coming to exclude something? Says the Rosh. The only reason Rashi says this is he's trying to explain the Gemara. That's all they had in the times of the Gemara. Times of the early times. He's quoting an Itmar, he's quoting a Brisa, right? Or a Gemara. Either way, the early time, they didn't have other Svarim. So that's why he says it. But says the Rosh, obviously, Gemaras and Sefer Psak, that's even worse of a problem. Because people are going to see that with mistakes in it, they're going to paskin wrong. Tanakh, okay, that's wrong. But it's even worse, says the Rosh, with other Svarim, says the Rosh. Why did Rashi say Tanakh? Mishum Dimei Rav Ami lo hayalem ksuvim Svarim Acherim. They didn't have other Svarim. V'lo lamait Svarim habetsuyim lanu ata. It's not to exclude the Svarim that we have today. Dem nimsa toz begemara o besefer haposkim yobo lahatir ha'asur v'lasar ha'samutur. Va'in avla gedola mizu. There's no greater avla. So Sefer Psak, right? So that for sure. You got to be careful. The Rashi just says that because he's explaining the Gemara. If you look at the Rambam seems to say it's Sefer Torah specifically, Sefer Sheinu Muga. So it might be an issue. What's the svara? What's the reason behind the halacha of Sefer Torah Sheinu? A Sefer Sheinu Muga. Is it just it didn't covet a Torah? It's not covet to have a Sefer that has mistakes in it. Then it might be like the Rambam. Or is it no? Because it might lead to mistakes. If it might lead to mistakes, then obviously not just the Sefer Torah. Right? It's the Svarim. It might be, I'm just thinking now, it might be the Rosh Lashitasa. The Rosh says, it's not for now, the Rosh says, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Rosh says, it's all about learning Torah. So Bizman Hazeh, you know how you fulfill the mitzvah? Buying Svarim. Buying Svarim. Every time you buy a Sefer, the Rosh says, the whole point of writing Sefer Torah is to perpetuate learning. So we don't learn from Sefer Torahs anymore. So says the Rosh, he doesn't say not to write a Torah, but he says, at least included in the mitzvah, is learning. So it might be put the two Roshes together. The big question that the Achronim ask on this Gemara is, what do we do about Apostle Sefer Torah? What does it say here? You can't keep it. Sefer Torah Shein Amuga. But we look around Klal Yisrael, and what do we do with Apostle Sefer Torah? They're in the same Aron. They're in the same Aron as the others. What do? When a Sefer Torah gets absolved, we put it back into the Aron. So says the Noda Bihuda. Noda Bihuda has a tshuva about this. Simon Tess, the ninth tshuva in the tshuvas of Noda Bihuda. He says, I was asked, what should I do with Svarim that they're not planning to fix? Are you allowed to put it back in the Aron? He says, first of all, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Luchos v'shivrei luchos munacham ba'aron, the Gemara says. The broken luchos were also in the Aron. So says the Noda Bihuda, maybe you can't compare broken luchos of Hashem and a mistaken Torah of us. You know, broken luchos of Hashem, you know, come on. So maybe, but maybe not. Maybe a Torah is a Torah. So he goes back and forth, and he says, Sefer Torah, he says, Ladina, imalacha zura feves biyotcha pukcha zimayama debar. Go see what everybody does. Umaisim b'chol yom, that when you find a mistake, you put it back in the Arun. Why? Afse b'sefer Torah nimsa pasul shaito, you put it back because it could be fixed. And the fact that we don't fix all of our Torahs is because it's so much money. And it's more expensive to fix than just to write a new one. Avavada yimirta lahotzi otzos rabos. But really, if you wanted to fix it, you could fix it. Yukolatakin al shayotzo yisir al shavach. And he continues, im kain kishem shemachzirin b'shabas sefer shenimsa b'apostle la'aron kain ein iser lahaniach svarim alal baron kodesh. There's no problem with keeping an apostle sefer Torah in the aron kodesh. But then he says at the ends, I said this all mitzad the kedusha of the sefer. Mitzad kedusha ha'aron eino iser. Avalakati, you're allowed to put it back in the aron. Mitzad the kedusha of the aron is not violated. But you do violate having a sefer Torah she'eino muga in your possession. End of tshuva. Avalakati aser v'lav hachi shema yavoli de'michsho likros mitocho. You might come to read from it, and you're not allowed to read it from it, as our Gemara says. End of tshuva. That doesn't really help us so much. So therefore, we need the binyan siyon. Rebbe Akiva Vantlinger, the binyan siyon, writes in Simin Tzadik Zayin that the only time there's an Isser to keep a Torah that's Eino Muga in your possession is if you're planning to fix it. Go fix it already! Don't keep it with you. But if you're not planning to fix it, there's no Isser. you're worried it might be read by accident, do something to make sure people know it's possible. Put it in a separate section in the Aron. So there's no worry. The only reason that you're not allowed to keep it is if you're planning to fix it. Go fix it already. But if you're not planning to fix it at the Binyan Siyun, no problem. Just put in the Aron in a special place. So he doesn't mention it, but that's what the Minhag Olam is, to wrap the Gartel on the outside of the cover. That's how you know it's possible. And just in Yonah de Yoma, he says the last two lines of the Tshuva, this is what everybody does. They put it in a separate section. Menichim Osav Aron Kodesh B'makam Yuchad U'motiim Osam B'simchas Torah L'harbos B'hakafas Yesh Lahem Lismoch Al Sefer Chasidim Shehiter Kenyol Anias Daiti. Right, so that's what he says. We don't violate Sefer Torah She'eino Muka. Okay, just one other one-liner. I remember from a long time ago, one of the rabbis was giving Shir and Yeshiva once, and he was giving Musar, and he said, a television is not better than a Sefer Torah She'eino Muka. That was his one line. You know, I have a Sefer Torah She'eino Muka in your house. He says, a television is not better than a Sefer Torah She'eino Muka. Okay, that was his line. Amar of Nachman. Let's continue. Amar of Nachman. Eidim she'amru amana hayudvareinu einemanim. Witnesses that say it was shtar amana, as we said before, they're not believed. Moda'a hayudvareinu einemanim. Now we get another type of false star. Moda'a. Moda'a means that somebody, I'm a witness. So somebody comes over to me and another man and says, you know what? I'm being forced to sign the shtar. I'm being forced to commit myself. I'm telling you now that tomorrow Reuven's going to bring me to you and say, he borrowed $5 million from me. Be our witnesses. I'm telling you now that it's false. That's called moda'a. I let you know beforehand that what's going to happen tomorrow is false. That's called moda'a. So what if the Edom claim that? Ain't Amon, and they're also not believed. That's the Tanakhama. Marbar Ravashi Amar, no. Amana, you the very known Amanim. If the Edom say, Amana, it was a star Amana, that it would never happen, in Amanim. Moda, how you the very known Amanim. But if it's that latter case, that a Moda was given, Ne'amanim. So then the Edom, are believed. Why? My Taima, high nitan likasev, a highlight, low nitan likasev. The difference is, a star Moda, there's a reason for it to be written. Rashi says, the guy's obviously being forced to write it. The Edom know that. The way that they're going to save this guy is just by signing it. Get him off his back. But they know that it's a false star. So that's why they're believed. There was a reason to write it. A star amana? There was never a loan that took place. There's no reason to write a star. Oh, you might lend me in a year. But that's not a reason to write it. So that's why they're not believed by amana, and they are believed by moda. Ba'a minei rava meir v'nachman. How about this case? T'nai hayu dvarenu. Mahu. What if the Edom come and say that, yeah, it's a good star, but there was a condition about it, and that condition was not fulfilled? Meaning, it says Reuven lent Shimon $100, but really there was a condition. Reuven lent Shimon $100 only if it rains tomorrow. And it didn't rain, but the condition is not written in the star. Are they believed to say that there was a t'nai that did not take place? Moda'ad, so the Gemara is going to flesh out the possibilities. Moda'ad amana hainu taima deka akwile l'shtara. Should we say that the reason moda'ad and amana are problematic claims are because they lamaisa make the star not usable? V'hainami ka'akar l'shtara. And here also they're making the star not usable by saying there was an unfulfilled condition. O dilma t'nai milsa achrisihi. Or shall we say that no? Conceptually, t'nai works differently. This phrase is taken out of context by many Rishonim to say that t'nai is something external to the act that's taking place. In other words, the shtar is a full shtar. And once they admit the shtar is a full shtar, they're believed. They're saying there was something totally external. They're not uprooting the shtar, like similar to moda'a and similar to amana, but it is something separate. It was a good milveh, but they're uprooting it from an external source. So the question is, how do we look at t'nai? Is t'nai just like the others, or is t'nai something different? So Amar Leh, he answered him, Ki also l'kama ladina, amrina lahu, zilu kaimi t'naichu v'chosu ladina. He believed the t'nai. He said, when people used to come to me, he said, I tell them, go be mekayim the t'nai. Go be mekayim the condition, meaning I believe them. So now the Gemara says one more question for today. Eid Omer Tanai, the Eid Omer Eino Tanai. What if one, they both come to court and they say, you know what, it's a good star. But one of them says, you know what, there was a condition about it. And the other one says, what are you talking about? There was no condition. So what do you do then? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, well, let's see. Travayu b'shtara ma'alyukah b'sati. They're both saying it's a good shtar. They will makayim the shtar. So it's as if there were two witnesses that the shtar is a good shtar, and now one of them is saying, no, it's not a good shtar, because there was a tanai. So Rav Papa says, v'hai t'kamar tanai ha'velechad. The one who now is saying, hey, there was a condition, is like one, though there were two that said it was good, and now there's one that says it was bad. The ain't var shalechad v'hakam shnayim, so we're not going to trust the one that says it was a tanai, and the shtar is good. Says, 1 second, Masgal Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, 1 minute. Yachai filu shravai onami. So why don't you say the same thing if there were two? Let's say two people came to court and said the shtar was good, but there was a tanai. So why don't we say two Edom said that the shtar was originally good, and now two other Edom are trying to uproot it? They can't do that. Why don't you say that? We just said before they're believed. Why don't you say that? El Amin and Hani Lemekar Sadasayukasi. Because when the Edom say it's good, but there was a tanai, they're uprooting their own testimony. You don't say there were two and now another two. So you just throw out their whole testimony. So the Gemara says, "Hainami lemekar sadusayu kaasi." So Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says, "So here too, you don't have when two edim, one of them says tonight, one of them says no tonight. You don't have two witnesses that there was a document, and now one of them is uprooting. No, the guy who said there was a tonight, his testimony should be thrown out totally, and therefore there's only one that's being mekayim the shtar. So therefore, we should not be able to listen. The Hilchos like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua, and therefore we pass on like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua, who says against Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that if it's one against one says Tanai, one says no Tanai, we say that it is a good shtar because one is trying to go against two. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that that one aid would is totally negated, and therefore you don't have a shtar here that has two signatures that has kiyum shtaris, and therefore the shtar would not be able to be collected with. Okay, period. We'll stop here. Tana Rabbanan ben Hashem. We'll start with tomorrow morning. Okay, today Shia was Lezecha Nishmas, Yitzhak Isaac ben Yisachar Dov.